sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. My guest today is Leah Drewcock. Leah is a licensed insolvency trustee with MNP Limited here in Prince George. Now, Leah joined me last week where we discussed all kinds of issues regarding bankruptcies and questions regarding bankruptcy. And today I've invited her to come back and discuss consumer proposals. So I've got a long list of questions that we're going to try to get through on this program just to give a real well-rounded perspective and inside look at the consumer proposal process in Canada. Leah, thank you so much for joining me again this week.
Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
I know you're busy, so I very much appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
My pleasure.
And coming and spending some time with us. So let's just jump right in here on the proposal side of things. So we talked about bankruptcies last year. Can you start by outlining the key differences between a bankruptcy filing and a consumer proposal filing?
Sure. The bankruptcy process, as is a consumer proposal process, they're both a legal option for resolving debt. However, the proposal process is really a negotiation. It's creditor driven, where the creditors have an opportunity to take part in the decision making and vote whether they're going to accept this negotiation, whereas a bankruptcy is really forced upon them.
So then talk about the benefits of filing a proposal as opposed to a bankruptcy.
Quite often an individual will file a consumer proposal rather than a bankruptcy because they're trying to protect their assets that they have equity in, or they may have fluctuating income or some uncertainty surrounding future increases in income, and they want to protect those increases. So a consumer proposal will often allow an individual to keep an asset that they may otherwise lose through a bankruptcy process.
So some of my listeners may be hearing this sounds like a get out of jail free card.
There's no such thing.
But that's not what it is. This is an honest, genuine process, correct?
This is a legal process. It is legislated, and we are licensed by the government. And this is really the last thing you would look to do before filing a bankruptcy, but it is a better option than a bankruptcy for many individuals.
Now, does a consumer proposal stop the collection calls, wage garnishes, these type of things that people are rather haunted by when they're in a very difficult financial situation?
Yes, definitely. Just like in a bankruptcy, a consumer proposal will stop collection action, stop judgments being registered against assets, stop garnishes, and stop the collection calls.
Which is usually the biggest headache relief right there.
Absolutely.
I've heard that collection calls remind people of how difficult their life is. Even, of course, we're trying to self-medicate, or we're trying to go, do our walks and just relax and de-stress. But those collection calls, they keep it right in front of people's faces. Even though they've been putting an awful lot of effort in to deal with the situation, usually borrowing from friends and family to pay debt or redeeming monies out of their RSPs to make debt payments. And at the end of the day, Those type of solutions are not the entire solution.
No, a lot of the alternatives won't resolve the entire debt problem. They'll deal with one or two creditors, or they may put a temporary band-aid fix on things. But a proposal or a bankruptcy is meant to get a full financial start, fresh start.
So now we do know that people who are in pain financially borrow from friends and family. And sometimes they don't even have to ask. Our family members want to step up and help. So when we're talking about a consumer proposal, can we leave out creditors such as friends or family when they've given us loans in good faith?
Legally, if it's a good faith loan, a promissory note, these are actual debts just like your credit cards or your mortgage or your car loan. And technically, you're obligated to disclose all of your creditors, including family and friends. However, the reality is, quite often it's hard for a family member or a friend to prove to the trustee that this was a bona fide loan. It wasn't just a gift out of the goodness of their heart. And quite often we see friends and family, they may get listed as a creditor, but they don't get paid in the end through the proposal process. Although I imagine there are a lot of people out there who, when they're done their proposals, they still make repayment to their friends and family.
When I would see friends and family on the list of creditors, what that would say to me about the person that I was sitting with was that these people have exhausted every resource trying to get themselves out of debt.
Absolutely. They have tried everything they possibly can, including, you know, sometimes it's a very depressing thing to have to discuss your money issues with friends and family. You don't want to admit that possibility that you aren't able to do it on your own. So friends and family quite often are the last people that they're loaning their last dollar to the individual before it's just too much.
Very often. Let's talk about Canada Revenue Debt. How does that work with the proposal process in Canada?
So in a consumer proposal, all unsecured debts are included. There are also debts that are called trust debts or priority debts, and then there are secured debts. And Canada Revenue Agency could be any one of those. But for the most part, strictly speaking, personal income tax debt is a forgivable debt through a consumer proposal process. There are some exceptions to the rule. Typically, if the Canada Revenue Agency has already registered a lien against property, that is very hard to compromise through a proposal.
Well, when they've secured an asset, they're not really wanting to play ball with a payment schedule.
Not anymore, no. Usually that's, they've already gone too far. And I think that people need to prevent that from happening and get the advice a little bit sooner.
So when families are struggling with debt, they have often gone through a process to get to the place where they're at. And usually no one goes down not fighting. They're always trying and you know, like what you had said, you know, we're talking about family and friends. We're talking about redeeming money from RSPs. They're not going down without a fight. When they come to your office, they're exhausted.
They're emotionally drained. They're embarrassed. They're stressed. They're scared. And, you know, they really are just defeated.
So for the people who are in that position right now, walk us through the process that you take these people through in from start to finish in terms of the proposal process.
So the beginning part of the process is very much like what I would do in a bankruptcy, because really when I consult with an individual, I'm assessing their financial options. I'm looking at the big picture, and I may be unaware at that point whether I'll be choosing to recommend a bankruptcy or a proposal. So I still have to ask the same questions. I need to learn a lot about the individual's financial picture, their personal situation, who they owe, how much, what assets they own, what their income is, what is their health, their family size. There's so much information that I need to be able to better assist them. When I have that information, we start talking about what would happen if the individual filed a bankruptcy, and we want to avoid that. So how could we assist them with a consumer proposal instead? And I really paint a picture for them of what the future would hold for them if they filed a bankruptcy versus if they did a consumer proposal. Or there are other options which we talk about, which honestly they have usually exhausted already by the time they come to see me.
So a lot of the process then is the consultation process, the place where you get to be honest with someone who is compassionate but also has the knowledge to make positive and practical recommendations, whether bankruptcy, whether proposal, or what have you. You're that person to come to.
Absolutely. That first appointment, that assessment or consultation, that's really the knowledge gathering for the both of us. For myself, I am assessing their situation. And for the individual, they're learning a lot about their options. And I always say knowledge is power. The more knowledge you give to me, the better I can help you. And the more knowledge I give to you, the better you are equipped to make a proper decision for your circumstances.
Now, in the proposal process, we have more people or entities making decisions here. So the information that the clients have passed along to you, you there then provide that to the creditors.
We have a format that we provide the creditors. a list of the assets, a list of the creditors, a list of their personal information within reason, their specifics that we are required to provide, and also their income and expenses. And we put together a proposal package for the creditors. It's really a negotiation, and we're telling the creditors, here's how much you would get if this individual filed bankruptcy. Here's how much they're willing to or able to afford to pay, and they really do want to pay. They don't want to file a bankruptcy. So we provide that to the creditors, and we put the ball in their court, and they negotiate with us. They look at those options, they decide what's best, and they vote.
So now let's talk about the voting process, because there are more people involved in this process than you as the licensed insolvency trustee and the client coming to you with their painful financial situation. How does this voting system work?
So we put the proposal out to the unsecured creditors, and each creditor gets to reply to our offer. And when they reply, they're submitting a vote and a claim. They're providing proof to us of exactly how much the individual owes them, and they are considering the proposal. And the typical response is either, yes, we're voting for this proposal, no, we do not agree with this proposal. And quite often, if a creditor says no, they're accompanying that with a counter offer, and we're negotiating with them on the debtor's behalf.
So the voting process is, it's an invitation for creditors to be part of the process.
Yes, and there is a deadline. They have 45 days to participate in the vote. They can still file a claim and participate in the proposal itself after the voting is closed, but the creditors have 45 days to vote, and it is a majority rules process. So the majority, 50.1% of the creditors accepting a proposal, they will be pulling along the rest of the unsecured creditor group with them. So if we have one or two smaller creditors, non-majority creditors, voting against the proposal, the majority can override that. And that's very beneficial for the debtor, because if you have one person, one personal creditor or a smaller creditor who is really kicking up a stink, and they have a right to do that, but if they're not the majority, they can't ruin it for everybody else.
I think that's a really positive thing when people look at their entire debt situation. They know that they have creditors that they typically get along with, for lack of a better term, and then you've got creditors who are very difficult to deal with. And if people knew that there was the voting process involved in the consumer proposal acceptance, I think they would just give them a little more confidence in exploring this option to deal with the pain of debt.
It allows fairness to be included in this process, where those creditors who have the most to lose have the largest stake. They get to vote, and really they're the ones that are the decision makers here.